And Jerry Forrester will now come and read to us from Acts 11.
The start of the reading is taken from Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19, and can be found on page 1044 of the Pew Bibles. The Church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And now carrying on, Acts chapter 12 from verse 25. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. As we come to this session on our series about the mission of the people of God, we come to talk about the church who sends. Now, of course, we are all missionaries in the church, local and international. In your work, in your school, wherever you are called to be a missionary. The church is actually sent by the Holy Spirit. However, the church also releases people into mission and ministry. And this is what we're looking at today. Now, I asked Dave Lockwood whether I could change the chapter which I would preach on. It was going to be Luke 10. But I suggested maybe we should do Acts 9 to 12. And you probably know the phrase, making a rod for your own back. Well, I certainly did that, because when I started to read the passage, I found there was so much in here. Some people preach three-point sermons. Well, I've got 8 points. So make yourself comfortable. We might be here for a while. No, we'll get through. It's all right. I got through the first service without too much extension. So the church in Antioch. This is an important part in the story in Acts, because the center of mission sending is changing. In the first 12 chapters, it's really Jerusalem. They are sending out and people being scattered from Jerusalem. But now, Antioch becomes the center for mission sending. Now, there are two Antiochs in the New Testament. Don't get them mixed up. One is Antioch in Syria, this one, and the other one is Antioch in Pisidia, the province of Pisidia, that Paul preaches in the synagogue in Acts 13. Now, Antioch in Pisidia, rather ironically, today is in Turkey. It's on the Syrian border. I had a PowerPoint presentation, but I didn't put it on my little pen drive, so you haven't got a PowerPoint, and I have a slide of it. So you can go and look where Antioch in Syria is a little later on. But it was planted by one of Alexander the Great's generals in about 4 BC. And 400 BC. And it was on three major trade routes. It was on the spice trade route, the silk trade route, and the royal Persian trade route. So this was a town that had international connections. And it was pretty well off. In fact, at one time, it was thought to rival Alexandria. And that was a massive Roman center. So Antioch was a multinational trade city at the time. And so, here is this church that is planted. And we're going to look at the planting of the church in chapter 11, and then how it sent missionaries out in chapter 13. And be prepared as a church to be challenged. Because I was really challenged by these chapters when I read them. So what was the Antioch church like? And how do we as a church match up? Because Luke is not only recording what happened, he's also prescribing what a church should be like. And the Antioch church is a great example of a missionary-minded church, what today people may refer to as a missional church, and you might hear that phrase banded about these days. So what was it like? Well, from the chapter, we're going to start in chapter 11, and we're going to go eventually to chapter 12. So the church in Antioch was a multicultural church. Verse 19, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. And this is the change. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Greeks, Gentiles, pagans. So they started to plant a church that was not only made up of Jews, who had a great long history of knowledge about God, but pagans, who had no background of the knowledge of God. Men from Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. It wasn't Barnabas. Barnabas was from Cyprus. We find that out in Acts 4. But also from Cyrene. Cyrene is in the east of Libya. So a long way away. If you imagine in your mind's eye a map of Africa, so quite a long way along the Mediterranean coast. And they planted this church of Jews and Greeks, a multicultural church. You may know I teach at All Nations along with my wife Wilma, and we have 25 different nationalities at All Nations. And you can imagine cultural expectations, cultural ways of doing things. We can end up a really holy mess at times, and hopefully not an unholy mess. Food, you know, you've got people from the Far East who want, you know, spicier food. People from Latin America who don't. So a multicultural church with connections across the world. But it also was a spirit-filled church. The Lord, verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 26, when Barnabas found Saul, he brought him back to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The Lord's hand was with them. It was a church filled with God's work, When it talks about the Lord's hand, God doesn't literally have hands. But it's talking about God's activity. God was at work in this church. A multicultural, spirit-filled, growing evangelistic church. Again, we ask, how do we match up to this? Are we spirit-filled? Do we see the work of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit being demonstrated in our church? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do we see the gifts of the Spirit being manifested within our church? Antioch did, and therefore Antioch was a sending church. So it was multicultural, spirit-filled, and learning. In verse 26, Barnabas and Saul taught for a year. It's quite a young church, isn't it? You know, even the time that it started to be planted, Barnabas went up to see what they were like, went and got Saul then for a year. So it's still quite a young church, but it was a learning church. And clearly, they were noticed. They were called disciples. It was a nickname or even an insult. These were people who were known as Christians because all they talked about was Christ. Have you been called a God botherer before? Don't take it as an insult if you're talking about God. They were obvious because they were a learning church which was spirit-filled and multicultural. But notice in verse 27 to 30, it was also a compassionate and generous church. Agabus comes along in verse 28 and tells them there'll be a famine spread over the entire Roman world during the time of Claudius. The disciples, as each was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. The phrase that says, each one, as each one was able, demonstrates not all of them were rich. But they still were compassionate. The entire Roman world. Well, Antioch was in the Roman province of Syria, so they were in the Roman world. They were just about to suffer a famine, yet they still gave. They still were compassionate and generous. And this I can say, Hartford Baptist is a generous church. Since 1988, when I went to the United States to be a youth pastor, Hartford Baptist has supported me through my time at All Nations, when I was a student, 10 years in Argentina, and still now, Hartford support Wilma in her ministry at All Nations as well. So a generous and compassionate church. The challenge is, when we suffer, they were going through a famine, we're going through a financial crisis in Europe today, do we stop giving? Or do we increase? So a compassionate, learning, spirit-filled, multicultural church. And going to chapter 13, or the end of chapter 12, we see that this church in Antioch was a very talented and gifted church. Just look at its leadership team. Sorry, let's read it. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Talk about a high-powered leadership team that you've got. And Barnabas at the beginning and Saul, who we know get called the Apostle Paul. So a very, very talented. John Mark was probably the writer of the Gospel of Mark. A relative of Peter. Barnabas, I tell you, I said at the first service that if I want a pastor and he was still around, I'd ask the Baptist Union to go and find him and bring him to Hartford. Barnabas, what a guy. Son of encouragement. A lovely guy. He was sent by the Jerusalem church to check out whether the Antioch church was okay or not. But he was discerning, listened to the Spirit, encouraged them. Simeon called Niger. I read that it could be Simon of Cyrene. would be nice, wouldn't it? Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross of the Lord for a while, then becomes a leader at the church of Antioch. Lucius, some say he was Luke, I don't think so, was also from Cyrene. Manaen, been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. If he was in the court of Herod, might be as a counselor. He had had a good education. And finally, Saul. Wow, that is an amazing team that they've got there. Gifted leaders, prophets, evangelists, teachers. And they were just about to get apostles. Apostle means one who is sent. And in chapter 13, we hear about Saul and Barnabas being sent off as apostles. Ephesians 4:11 talks about apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. And they had the lot there. A very, very gifted church. And we'll see how important that becomes in the next few minutes. So a talented church as well. Verse 2, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to. A worshipping church. The they is almost certain, the whole church, not just the apostles. They were worshipping and they were fasting, which was a normal thing that all Christians would have done. So this church was getting about its own business locally. It was worshipping, it was evangelistic, it was spirit-filled, it was talented, it was multicultural, it was compassionate, it was doing what it should have been doing. And then God steps in and says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. So after, verse 3, after they had fasted and had prayed, they placed their hands upon them and sent them off. An obedient church. They said they were fasting and worshipping. Now they are fasting and praying. When the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, it can be literally put a boundary around Saul and Barnabas. Set them apart for me. They didn't impulsively just send them off immediately. They fasted and they prayed, again, showing their spirituality. They laid their hands upon them. So it wasn't an impulsive act, but it wasn't a reluctant sending off either. The laying on of hands was a blessing. So they were blessing Saul and Barnabas for their work. And he sent them off. It isn't the word send at all. It's the word release. Let them go. So this was a church that let Saul and Barnabas go. It was obedient. Now just remember what we said about this church. It was 1-2 years old. And then the Holy Spirit says, you're doing great, guys, here, but what I want is to take the best leaders you have and let them go into mission. So, thanks, Lord. That's probably not the right thing to do. You know, as Baptists, we'd probably set up several committees to make sure that we'd heard right. Because it's a daft thing to do. Such a young church, made up of Jews, yes, but pagans who had known Jesus Christ for 1 or 2 years. Ooh, that just went down. Scary. 1 or 2 years. It was a young church, probably not very stable, like that lectern. Not very stable, yet God says to them, release them, let them go. And not only let some of your members go, let the best leaders go. Let your best leaders go. That seems to me to be completely irresponsible of the Holy Spirit. But here was a church that was multicultural, spirit-filled, compassionate, talented, worshipping, generous. And they were doing everything right. And God said, take a step of faith further and let your best leaders go. Now, I've described this church in Antioch as very young, probably quite immature. Hartford Baptist Church has been established for how long? 117 years. We have had the Christian faith in Great Britain for probably 1700 years. We are a mature church. We are a talented church. We are a generous church. We are doing so many things within the community. And what's the next step of faith? I was having a conversation with somebody a few weeks ago, and they said, Alistair and Juliet Curry have been with us for quite a while now, and wouldn't it be great if somebody was prompted to say, you know what, I'll go. Wouldn't it be great if somebody would say, yeah, I'll go. I'll take that step of faith and actually go and know God's blessing on me in my work. Now, Hartford is full of missionaries. How many churches are there within 500 metres of the doors of our church? Three other? Four other? You, as I've said, are all missionaries. My joke is that P.G. Wodehouse is one of my favourite writers. You can't throw half a brick in Hartford without hitting a missionary, because they're all around. You, in other words. But there are places that don't have loads of missionaries and who need them and need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we are a church that is missionary here, are we going to take a next step? This is the challenge I was talking about, the challenge to me. And it may have financial implications for the church. You say, oh, we can't afford it. What are we going to do? No. If we are faithful to God, we say, yes, Lord, let's do it. Let's get out there. Let us see your hand at work. Take us somewhere else. As John was praying, I'm a very imaginative sort of person, and I'm thinking about the Korean Peninsula, of the Crimean Peninsula as well, that's in uproar at the moment. Think about Democratic Republic. Think about places where I have been in the world, who need to have the word preached. And Hartford Baptist Church, we are God's plan for this. And the question is, are we up for it? Are we ready for this challenge that he is setting in front of us? Am I ready? Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your servant Luke, who wrote Acts. And the challenge that it is to us, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, long dead in Antioch. But they were faithful to you, Lord. They didn't shy away when you asked them to set aside Barnabas and Saul for your work. They released them, Lord. And we thank you for that example that we have. Lord, make us a multicultural church. Make us a compassionate church. Make us a spirit-filled church, Lord. Make us a generous church, that we may be a blessing to the church and to the world. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.